Morning, church. How are you this morning? Good. Before I get into the message, I want to celebrate and share some exciting news. Some of you may know, but Jake and Sarah got engaged last weekend, so give them a hand. Well done. We love celebrating news, and so you can go and see them and mob them after the service, COVID safely, of course. But yeah, if you got any news, just like praying, we would love to celebrate with you. We can announce and maybe embarrass you in the service if you would like, but that's not a requirement. So now, we've been launching this year with our sermon series at the moment, looking at the kingdom of God, and specifically that this kingdom that we follow is an unstoppable kingdom. You can't miss the sign behind us that it's unstoppable. And the same is with this kingdom. It just keeps coming. So we're journeying through the book of Acts, looking at this, and just really picking up some significant moments in this book. Today, if you've got your Bible or phone, we're looking at Acts chapter 10. So feel free to bring that up as we do that. And as we look at these significant moments, it really pinpoints and picks on this how God is building his people, the church, and some significant changes that the church has taken through that time. Some were expected, some were unexpected, but we saw that God was building his church. And we see this progression. Today is a significant change in what the church is, something that I think the churches, or at least the apostles and those who believed, didn't expect it to go this way. And so today we're looking at the Gentile shift. And so even the Gentiles were included within the church. So I'm not going to read the whole chapter, so I'm skipping a little bit, but I'm going to start from verse 1. It says, "In Caesarea there lived a Roman army officer named Cornelius, who was captain of the Italian regiment. He was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. He gave generously to the poor and prayed regularly to God. One afternoon, about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he saw an angel of God coming towards him. 'Cornelius,' the angel said." And Cornelius stared at him in terror. "'What is it, sir?' he asked the angel. And the angel replied, 'Your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering. Now send some men to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He is staying with Simon, a tanner, who lives near the seashore.' As soon as the angel was gone, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier, one of his personal attendants, and he told them what had happened and sent them off to Joppa." I'm skipping a bit here where Peter has a vision there. And then we catch up at verse 34 where it says, "Then Peter replied as he went and met Cornelius, 'I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. In every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. This is the message of the good news for the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after John began preaching his message of baptism. And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we apostles are witnesses of all that he did throughout Judea and in Jerusalem. And put him to death. They put him to death by hanging him on a cross. But God raised him to life on the third day. Then God allowed him to appear, not to the general public, but to us, whom God had chosen in advance to be his witnesses. We are those who ate and drank with him, and after he rose from the dead, and he ordered us to preach everywhere, and to testify that Jesus is the one appointed by God to be judge of all, the living and the dead. He is the one all the prophets testified about, saying that everyone who believes in him will have their sins forgiven through his name.' Even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles too. For they heard them speaking in other tongues and praising God. Then Peter asked, "Can anyone object to their being baptized now that they have received the Holy Spirit just as we did?" So he gave orders for them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And afterward, Cornelius asked them to stay with him for several days. So step back. When God created the human race, he didn't specifically designate groups of people. When God created his people, he created men and female, and they were to worship God and connect with God. But as history unfolds, he creates a specific line of people, the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, those people that were set apart, those people that were specifically called to worship God. And he set those people apart. A few weeks ago, we heard from Michael as he preached before we launched our series, that the Jews were not the only people that connected and worshipped God. There were other people that did the same. The Jews had a specific role, and the nation of Israel a specific role, but there were other people that heard who God was and worshipped and glorified him. Other people that just pop up in the scriptures, and I'm sure there are many more that know who God is, that worship him and understand his role. And so he seems to use many different people. But what we see in the nation of Israel and in this story, that before Jesus, those who wanted to become part of his nation and God's people, they were engrafted and became Jews. You see that they were no longer Gentiles. Gentiles is a phrase we use for non-Jewish people, and it's come throughout the Bible. So these were Gentile believers that came to know who Jesus is, came to know who God was, Yahweh, before Jesus. And they became Jewish people, even though they weren't born Jews because their parents were Jews. You see, there was people that were grafted in. But the church is different than that. The church isn't about this specific group of people. It's not a lineage thing. It's not you're born into the church. There is a decision. It's not a specific race of people, a specific culture of people. It's something more than that. And it was always intended to be something more. You see, when we pick up here at Acts chapter 10, we see the church is growing and expanding. There are Jews who are coming to know who the Messiah is and who Jesus is, and are shifting and fulfilling their allegiance to Jesus. And they're becoming followers. They weren't called Christians at this stage. They were called followers of the way. And so they're becoming believers and followers of the way. And this is growing quite rapidly. Now, Peter was one of the apostles. Now, he knew Jesus and journeyed with Jesus his entire ministry of 3 years. And so he'd positioned himself on a significant port area in Joppa. It's west of Jerusalem. And he positioned himself there as a place to go back and forth and declare the good news to the Jewish people. And so he's praying at one time, this story picks up. He's praying and he's connecting with God as he would have done regularly. And at the same time, north, in a town called Caesarea, which is another port town, that was a key port town for the Romans. Now, the Romans built this massive, incredible port town at Caesarea, and a magnificent feat of engineering and architecture. And so that was where Cornelius was. And so at the same time, they're praying. Now, Cornelius was a Roman. He was a centurion. It doesn't say that he had any Jewish lineage at all. So we can expect that he's not a Jew. But somehow, somewhere, somebody had told him about God. Whether it was he just discovered who God was through creation, that surely there aren't multiple gods like the Romans would expect and have taught. Surely there is one God. Maybe he had a Jewish friend or Jewish believers that he spoke with and discovered who God was. somehow Cornelius knew God, knew Yahweh in a depth that the Jews only knew. Because we see he's a devout follower of God. Not just a follower of God, but devout follower of God. Somebody had shared it with him. Now, it's quite likely that the disciples or the followers of the way did not share this message with him. Because he doesn't seem to recognize Peter. When Simon Peter goes and journeys with him, one of the key apostles and witnesses to Jesus, Cornelius doesn't seem to know who he is. And so it's quite likely that he hasn't heard about the Messiah, hasn't heard that the Messiah has come and that Jesus has come to bring about the salvation of the world. And so both are praying. God sent the vision to both of them to connect and to really build up. See, they didn't do this of their own accord. Even Peter was probably more reluctant than Cornelius. Peter really had to be shown multiple times, and the Spirit really had to come upon him to actually go with Cornelius's men. He was almost reluctant to actually connect with the Gentiles. And it makes sense if you know the culture. See, Jews and Gentiles always had a distinction. God had specifically called his people to be different, set apart, holy and righteous. Now, they had been overthrown by Gentile nations time and time again. And when we catch up in this time, they had been overthrown. They'd been oppressed by the Romans. Previous to the Romans, they'd been oppressed by the Greeks, who really oppressed them quite well and almost shifted their culture. They even rallied up. There was a group of Jews that rallied up to overthrow. And so there was a real national identity as Jewish people that Peter would have grown up in. This is the culture that we really don't like Gentiles. We really don't. That is the culture. And so to go and interact with a Gentile was not following the instructions that God wanted us to do. But Peter was also a follower of the way. So there's some interaction that Jesus has with Gentiles. So he would have seen this and he would have interacted with Gentiles in a significant way that Jesus came apart. There was a significant way that Jesus interacted with them. And so maybe he was slightly more open than more Jewish believers, but he still seemed to be hesitant. Simon Peter wanted to be remain faithful to the laws as a Jew. God had put these laws in a place for a reason. So at this time, he wanted to make sure he maintained all the food purification laws and the interaction, and he wanted to remain that faithful. Because Jesus didn't seem to clearly distinct before then of that, no, we don't have to follow all those rules before. This is the moment when God opens that up. And the vision was, what I make clean cannot be unclean. That's the vision Peter had. But it didn't really have anything to do with the food. It was more about the Gentile race. It was more about Peter and people. So when Peter gets this vision, it was countercultural to him. To eat this and to do this, it was against what he did. You see, when Peter got this, it was going, no, this is not right. I've been told time and time again that we don't eat these things. Surely we can't eat these things. But God goes, no, this is right. Then he shows him again. Surely, time and time again, we're not meant to eat these things. You know when you've been told something time and time again? Maybe you've grown up that way. It is very difficult to change what you do. Maybe you do something unknowingly and somebody picks up on it and says, you do it that way. And you're like, no, that's how you do it. When my wife and I got married, one of the little arguments we had was on the dishwasher loading. Simplest thing. that get you. But I had been taught that you loaded it and that you washed the dishes a certain way. You made sure that you rinsed the dishes before you put it in the dishwasher and you loaded it a specific way. And my wife comes in and goes, no, you don't have to rinse the dishes. You just load it and just put it in and you shove it and you turn it on. It's a wasting water if you're rinsing. Simple things. But for me, this is how you did it. For her, that is how you did it. So it was countercultural for us to do it a specific and a different way. And so in a similar way, that was for Peter. So it was a difficult step of faith that he had to take to interact with the Gentiles, and not only a Gentile, but a Roman centurion Gentile. But he saw what God was saying. He heard it and he listened. He was praying. He was asking God these things. And so he managed to take that step of faith. You see, beforehand, as I mentioned before, let's pretend these green blocks is the nation of Israel. So if you were a pure Jewish person, you are these dark green blocks. See, previous to that is that you were a Jew and you remained a Jew, you followed the Jewish laws, and that was what you did. But if a Gentile, someone like Ruth in the Bible, those sort of things, that wanted to become part of the family, they became Jews. They were ingrafted, they were put into the family. And so they became green. It's these odd different color blocks. They didn't remain Gentiles, they became Gentiles. And so they became part of the family, and God was building this nation, growing it up and building it. But there is a shift coming. God is saying, I want you to integrate the Gentiles, the red blocks. But I don't want them to become Jews. They are going to hear God and understand God for themselves, and they're going to worship God, but they don't have to become part of your race. I want you to add, because I'm adding, the Gentiles, and I'm going to build them as part of my church. You see, as Peter met with Cornelius' household, as Peter saw that they were devout followers of God, he's thinking, like, how do they know God? How do they follow God's commands in this way? They found him praying and connecting with God. But then Peter is able to fill in the gaps of what they don't understand. Peter is able to declare the good news of Jesus to them. And as he declares this, as we read and as we read before, as Peter declares these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. The Holy Spirit fell upon them as they received Jesus into their hearts. And it even says that Peter was surprised. He still wasn't expecting God to bring the Gentiles into his church. That the Holy Spirit fell upon them. You see, Peter was unaware of the plan that God was doing. He was obedient to the call and prayerful, but he was unaware what God was doing to build the church. Remember, it's countercultural. It's against what he thought it was. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus declared these words. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, for us, as we read that, that clearly says that God is going to bring everybody into the church. But for a Jew, you can see he would be thinking, maybe the ends of the earth means all the scattered Jews. Those that were scattered in the exile, God is going to bring all them back in. So this church is for the Jewish race. And maybe the Samaritans, they're kind of half Jews. So God's probably going to be lenient to them and welcome them into the church as well. But not the Gentiles, not those red blocks. They're not going to be part of the church. But God was opening Peter's eyes. God was opening, and he was going, this is my plan. This is this unstoppable nature of the kingdom of God. It is not our plan, it is God's plan. And it was God's plan always from the beginning. God had declared his truth to various other Gentiles for the entire history of the world. God had already bringing people into his church, into his family. Some of them were engrafted in, the light green blocks. Some of them just remained who they were and worshiped God. But now, the church is even greater than that. The church is going to grow and expand, and we're all going to be part of the same family. We're all going to be joined in the same mission and vision of the church. The gospel that is being declared through Jesus Christ is for everyone to welcome, and our goal is to share it with everyone. That as they believe in the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit will be poured out upon them for the purpose of declaring the good news of Jesus, for his mission. As it happened here in Acts chapter 10, as it happened before, and as it continues to happen in the last 2,000 years of the history of the church, the Holy Spirit pours out on us, God's people. Whether Jew or Gentile, Greek, Roman, it is open for everyone. And that is the shift that we have here in Acts chapter 10. It's not the shift of God's mind of what he's going to do, but it's a shift of us and guys like Simon of the church to go, no, actually, the church is greater than that. I thought the church was this, but it's actually this. It is so much greater. And this is what the Spirit does. If following God, if what we believe in Jesus was a man-made faith, if somebody woke up one day and said, I'm going to write a story about God, it's going to talk about creation and it's going to do all sorts of things. If this was a man-made faith, if the Jewish culture made this up and it worked out, and if it was a man-made religion, it would have stayed with the Jewish race. It probably would have died out with the Jewish race well before it even got to you and me. If it was man-made, it would have remained there because Peter was hesitant to go to the Gentiles. But God spoke through the Holy Spirit to force him, to almost show him what he is doing. You see, we're a Spirit-led faith. We believe in God because he is real and he is true, and the Spirit leads us to go tell others. The Holy Spirit is alive and active and working, and he's building his church and he's building his people. It's not through our efforts, it's through the Holy Spirit working through us that this is growing. God calls us to different areas and moves us, but it's the Spirit that is working through us that is building his people, the church. And the Holy Spirit crosses cultures. The Holy Spirit crosses borders. It crosses nations. It crosses countries. The Holy Spirit leads and goes wherever it wants to go and declares the good news. People have been called and the Holy Spirit moves them out. You know, whenever we send missionaries or whenever we talk about Jesus ourselves, the Holy Spirit is there working with us and declaring. It could be countercultural to what we are here, but the Holy Spirit is leading and calling us to do that, and so the Holy Spirit works through us. And all are invited to join, including you. All are invited to join this Spirit-led movement, this unstoppable kingdom. You see, the gospel has no boundaries. It has no limits. It doesn't limit itself in culture. It doesn't limit itself by countries. It doesn't limit itself by where we can go. The unstoppable nature of our kingdom is it just goes. The Spirit works through it, and it goes and declares the good news. And we have the privilege, as followers of Jesus, to be part of this. And it's exciting to see what God does. So no one can stop this growth of the kingdom. So today, as we think about this, as we look towards this year, I want you to not limit yourself or your thinking. See, when I married Caitlin, the dishwasher, that was the way you did the dishwasher. For me, there was no other way you did the dishwasher. You wanted to make sure those things were clean. But she opened my eyes to a different way of doing it. Yeah, there is different ways in which we can do it. And so don't limit yourself by even some of the simplest little things, because God's kingdom is limitless. Open yourself up to the kingdom. Open yourself up to what God is doing and is moving. Because revival generally comes in a different way than what's happened before. It generally comes in a different method to what God has done before in the past. And the Spirit is still in it. The Spirit is still moving. Because this is an unstoppable kingdom. And the Holy Spirit is moving. So open your eyes. Don't let the red blocks get in your way. The green blocks. Don't worry about them. Just the Spirit moves and God opens up people's hearts to receive the good news and is filled with the Holy Spirit. So let me pray today. Let me pray that your eyes will be open, that the Holy Spirit will move amongst you and give you the strength and fill you as you go about this role this week. Lord, our Father, Lord of heaven and earth, we pray today as your people. We have been called, we have been set apart for you, for your good work, to join this unstoppable kingdom that we don't fully understand, that we don't fully grapple how it works. But Lord, we know that you're in it. We know that you're working. We know that your Spirit is working. So Lord, we ask today that you would fill us with your Spirit. Lord, may we open our eyes to join what you have for us this week, this year. Lord, in our lifetime, open our eyes. Help us to not be limited by our own culture, by our own ways, but Lord, open our eyes to see what you're doing. Open our eyes to see how you're moving. And Lord, help us to join in. Help us to see what you're doing today, just as you did in Acts chapter 10. Lord, just as you're doing. So Lord, fill us today. Send us out. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our God, that we are his people and that he is all that we need. So let's stand and praise him as we move out into our week ahead and declare that he is ours.